Our reading this evening is from the New Testament and the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 2. The letter to the Hebrews and chapter 2. And we're going to read from chapter 2, verse 1, into chapter 3, verse 13. The writer here has been talking about the way in which God spoke to the people in the past, but has in these last days spoken clearly, plainly, and fully in Jesus Christ, his Son. And having spoken, we now come to read chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifieth, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen, and may God grant to us all understanding and his blessing in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. I want us this evening to think of the way in which these words speak to us, the way in which our just previous song of praise carries that same sentiment. Have you heard the Savior calling? Have you heard the voice of mercy? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Many people today throughout our land, morning and now in the evening time, many people might indeed have gone to church. But going meant no great thing to them. We are living in a day when going to church is, to some at least, part simply of the Christian culture that we're supposed to be in. For some people, it's the habits of their family. My granny went to church, so I go. For others, they just simply want to keep their options open. And they go to church so that if there's ever a wedding or a funeral, they know where they can go to get service. Many people go to church. But going to church is much, much more than simply these outward performance of things and ticking boxes and keeping options open. We come to church and we come here gathered tonight to meet with our God. And in doing so, we need to be prepared to face all that that means and the consequences that come from that meeting with our God. And listening to what he has to say to us. That is the need of our day. That is the need of our society today. That God would speak, and that we know that we are dealing with him as he speaks with us. If you go back to the Old Testament and to the prophet Isaiah chapter 6, we're told there that the glory of the Lord filled that house. And Isaiah saw it. And it had a profound effect upon him. There Isaiah was confronted with the greatness of God. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. We need people today to acknowledge that he is the sovereign as well as the living God. And we need also to recognize the character of our God as it is intimated to us, thrice holy, praised of angels, there in Isaiah 6. The consequences of that meeting, again given to us, I am a man of unclean lips. But also they are given in Isaiah the possibility of forgiveness, the coals applied to his lips to purge and to cure. That's what we need in our society today, to listen to what God is saying to us. speaking to us in and through Jesus Christ, his Son, Savior and Lord, proclaimed amongst us. He is not God, made after our image or in our likeness. That's what many people think today. God is just simply a bigger image of ourselves. But God is altogether different. And when we see him as he reveals himself to be there in Isaiah 6, there in Isaiah chapter 40, in so many different precious portions of Scripture, when we see him in all of his glorious majesty, then man is put in his place. God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. As we were thinking this morning, as we've been reminding ourselves over past days. But he is also a God of holiness and of righteousness and of justice. And in Psalm 85, we are told that that mercy and that righteousness, and the word that is used is such a beautiful word. Mercy and truth kissed. The very same sentiment that is given to us in the second verse of that hymn we've just been singing. Grace and mercy's gentle kiss. The way in which there is this consistency in God's character. The God of grace and the God of mercy. The God of holiness and of justice and of righteousness. And who are going to approach before such a God? How are we going to come before him? The only way we can come is to be absolutely perfect. We can never reach that condition ourselves. If we stand before God alone, we will be utterly condemned. But listen again to what we read there in Hebrews chapter 2. Behold, this is the Lord speaking in verse 13. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And the picture and image is of one standing in the midst and sweeping out arms to embrace and to gather people to himself. And that's what the Lord is doing and has done for his people. I and the children which God hath given me. The only way we can come then before God is by trusting in Jesus Christ, his Son, focusing upon the cross on which he died and the message that comes out of that glorious death, painful as it was. And as you, underneath you and minister, hears this gospel week after week after week, the simple requirement laid upon you and on my people also is that we come to trust and rely upon Jesus Christ. Nothing more is needed. Nothing more needs to be said or to be added. We know what God requires of us. We might be sinners, but what can at least say this, we are informed sinners. You know. So therefore the question simply tonight is, what are we doing with what we've got? What are we doing with what God has said? That is the urgent and the important question of the hour. And it's simply on that question and issue that I want us to think tonight, based upon these verses in chapter 3 of Hebrews. As I've done in the past, simple thoughts as a skeleton for everyone to fill out at their own pace and leisure. The very simple and the very first thought I want to have before us here tonight is this one. First of all, gathering as we have, we are gathered underneath a solemn occasion. in these words, there are different quotations from the Old Testament. David has spoken, and such like is the way it's often introduced for us. But when you come here in verse 7, there's an introduction in a most unusual way. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. Human vessels, human agents, humans are mentioned at other places. But here the emphasis is upon the divine author. The solemnity and the seriousness of what involves us as we gather together tonight. We're focusing on immediate dealings of God with us. Nobody in between. You're sitting amongst a congregation. You might be sitting with family, with friends. But right now, it's you and your God, and no one else around or in between. The solemn occasion of our meeting here this evening. Oh yes, we try to diffuse it. We try to play it down. When we quote scripture to other people, people might try that same tactic with us, and they say, "That's only David. That's only Paul. That's only one of the gospel writers." And they try to play down the person who's dealing with them and speaking with us. Today, we hear God speak with us. And he looks for a response from us. And he requires of us to trust in his Son. It is a solemn occasion. Just you and your God. So therefore, beware. Beware of trifling with God. He is patient. He has been long-suffering in his dealings with you and with me. There's a beautiful phrase repeated often in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25, we read these words. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. How often we have that image given to us of God behaving like a man, rising early and speaking. How often we can recall the words, familiar words of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. They were all there together, and five had prepared and five had not. And when the decisive moment came, three simple words, phrases sum up the event and the solemnity of what happened. A request was made that was never answered or granted. Give us some of your oil. A door was closed that was never opened again. A prayer was offered that was never answered. God has been patient in his dealings with us. But we must never presume upon that patience. We must make haste. We must not delay. Again, the psalmist tells us that we must number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Mahatma Gandhi, he was a man that didn't possess very much. But one thing he did have was an Ingersoll watch. And he had a watch for a simple reason, that time is precious. And once it's gone, it's gone. And surely there's a lesson there for ourselves. Don't delay. The solemnity of the occasion of our gathering together requires us to apply ourselves to things that are urgent and things that are important. And to bring that solemnity home to us, yes, God dealing, but God dealing with you. He isolates you and he isolates me. There's so much din. There's so much noise. We're up in Fort William and we're right beside the bypass, and you can hear so often in a service just like this how often I've had to pause because a set of blue lights have gone past us. There's so much din. And of course, everybody's thinking, what's that and who's involved and such like. There's so much distraction. So much din and noise crowding out what God has been saying to us. But now he's taken us apart, alone, aside. Now, here tonight, God is speaking to you. A solemn occasion for your soul. And there's an urgency over this matter. And there is a priority over the things that are before us. How often, I mentioned it this morning of Psalm 27, how often the scriptures tells us about one thing, one thing, one thing. The rich young ruler that came to the Lord, and the Lord says, do this and follow me. The priority that he had to part with. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she said, the Lord says, one thing is chosen and she will not be taken from her. The man in John 12, is it? One thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. The priorities which the Lord sets before us. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. That's the priority God is speaking and setting before us here tonight in this solemn occasion of our gathering together. But secondly, not only is there that solemn occasion of God being here present with us, we have also, secondly, a special duty set before us. Once, twice, three times in these simple few verses, we have it set for us. Chapter 3, verse 7, it says, today, if you will hear his voice. Chapter 3, verse 15, wherefore, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. Chapter 4, verse 7, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The special duty laid upon you and me as we gather underneath this solemn occasion, simply this: listen to what God is saying. There are so many people hearing, but how many are listening? How many are taking note of what is happening in our lives? The things that come in by way of providence? The twists and turns totally unexpected in life that the Lord brings about for us, taking us into a situation where we're confronting something that we never expected, never planned. But through that particular situation, the Lord has deliberately brought us to speak to us. And the requirement set, this duty set, is listen to what the Lord is saying. Mary in Luke chapter 2, she was so involved in the wonderful things concerning the birth of Jesus. And there's one thing told us that she did. Mary pondered these things in her heart. She held on to them. She listened. And she went over them. One of the things that are spoken of in the Old Testament, we hear about clean and unclean animals. One of the things marking out a clean animal, it had a cloven hoof, yes, but also it had to do something else. It had to chew the cud. That's what we have to do. We go over and over and over again the things which God has spoken and given to us. The special duty, listening to what God is saying. Listen to the truth he is saying to us. Sometimes what he is saying to us makes us altogether uncomfortable. Sometimes what he is saying is probing too deeply in our lives. Sometimes it's just simply going too close to the bone and we love none of it. So we think, so we try to smother and to fill and to distract in any way we can. And when we've tried our utmost, we find that we failed because God is still there, still speaking, still dealing with us. We try to put up the shutters. We try to close our ears. We try to let our minds drift, but it doesn't work. God is speaking. And he's speaking to you and to me, yes, through the scriptures. He's speaking through providence. He's speaking through the influences of others, friends, Christians round about us. The things that we read in our own reading, perhaps Christian biographies or things of such nature. But constantly there, God is speaking. Speaking to you about your soul. Speaking to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to you about the things of heaven to be sought after and a hell to be shunned. Speaking to you over the destiny of your immortal soul. Now God is doing that to you. Why do you run away? Why do you smother that which he is speaking of to you? The duty that is set before us, the requirement that he gives us and puts now, is simply this. Are you listening? Are you listening to what he is saying? Don't dismiss it. Don't sideline it. We can duck and dive, bob and weave, whatever cliche you want to use. But the Lord confronts us time and again with things that are urgent and important. So yes, we have a solemn occasion. We're gathered here in his name and he's speaking to us. He is setting before us a special duty to listen to what he is saying. The third thing I want us to think about, there is a specific time given to us here. He says, now. Today. Today is the day of salvation. When you go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, God spoke, and there was light. What an amazing lesson that has for us in this way. Light was ready to obey as God spoke. We can put it like that. Light was ready to obey as soon as God spoke. Are we? After so long a time, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I ask you the question. I know not the answer, but you've got to speak the answer as God is listening to you. How many sermons have you heard? How many sermons from how many different voices in how many different pulpits have you heard? He is speaking to us all. especially as I grow older, I am more and more conscious of sunset days. He is speaking to us in our sunset days. But I ask the question, how long has it been since you first heard the gospel message? How many more do you need to hear? We've been given the message, we've been given the opportunity, we've been given the time. We've known something of a spiritual effect perhaps coming upon us on other occasions when there were some special meetings or special conventions and we heard a preacher and the preacher spoke and it rattled your cage and it got underneath your skin and it got close to your soul. And for a little while you were disturbed and for a little time you were scared and a little time you were afraid of meeting God and a little time you were there looking at death and eternity down the barrel of a gun. But you let it pass. How many times are you going to let that happen? How long are you going to linger on thin ice? You are, and I am, just a breath away from meeting God. A breath. Therefore, let us seize the moment while we yet have opportunity. You're going to have the youngsters over this next week. We can easily apply it to youngsters that we might have the opportunity to speak with. They are living in a world and with friends where there is a pressure against anything Christian in their lives, and that pressure is molding them. And in these young years, they're still flexible. They're still haven't taken up the patterns and the habits, perhaps. But all the while, there's the pressure of friends bearing down, squeezing them into a certain shape. And we've got to keep countering that pressure. And we've got to keep on bringing these matters before them now, now, now. In middle age, before you've forgotten all that you were taught in younger years, before all of these things have been swamped and overwhelmed by the pressures of society today, and you've become just like so many others round about. In old age, when all that you're left with are memories, very little to look forward to and a lot to look back on, but nothing substantial in the looking back. Today, the Lord is speaking to us, whatever category we are in. And He is speaking to us of something very important, urgent, that we need to address. A specific time. Now. And He's talking about and He's setting before us the Lord Jesus Christ. He is drawing our attention to what He has achieved and accomplished on the cross. He is awakening memories within us. All of us. All of us, I think, at one time or other in growing up, we've learnt by rote in our mind portions of Scripture. And they are there just simply to be recited, perhaps just now by you. But the Lord is perhaps quickening something that was said and the person who said it to you. And the Lord is speaking through that message, drawing you back in the memory and in your mind to a distant place, in a far-off land, in a voice that is now in history. And He's talking to you and He's speaking to you about things that you've neglected all the while in between. And He's speaking to you about your soul. And He is saying, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So yes, we have the solemn occasion. Yes, we have the special duty. Yes, we have the specific time. One last thought before we close. This is a great privilege we have. This is also a great responsibility. And as it is a great privilege, so the fourth thing that I want us to draw attention to is the spiritual danger that is round about the privilege we have now. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The gospel door is set before us. The gospel message is ringing in our mind and in our ears. The images that we can bring before our mind about the cross and the Savior who died upon that cross and the transactions conducted in the darkness of 3 hours. The cry that pierced, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the way in which that scene and these gospel messages have been presented time and again before us. And the Lord, as we've said before, the Lord is on trial here now. You and I are sitting and making a judgment and forming an assessment about Jesus Christ. What opinion are you reaching? Because one day this will be reversed. And it will be you and I that's on trial. And it will be the Lord who will be coming to an opinion about us. What will he say then? The spiritual danger of hardening our hearts. We quoted something from the prophet Jeremiah just a moment ago. Let us listen to what he says, that very same chapter 25. You have not hearkened to me, the very thing that we're talking about tonight. Are we listening? And here we have the prophet Jeremiah speaking about not listening. Not listening as it applied to them and not listening as it might apply to us. You have not listened, you have not hearkened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the words of your hands to your own heart. Therefore, here it comes, the spiritual danger for us. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Ah, but wait a minute, minister. That's the Old Testament. That's not the way God of the New Testament works. That's the old... Don't for one moment think you've got security behind that argument. The Lord God who worked and operated and dealt with his people, like Jeremiah tells us there, is the same God who works and operates with the same resolute purpose, holiness and justice with us today. Don't for one moment think that the danger is any less with you just because time has passed between you and Jeremiah. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart by throwing off all these influences that you've gathered and collected through your life. Your Sunday school days. Your Christian influence in the family and from home. The books that you've read. And so many more. All of these Christian influences that you've had. Don't throw them off. just because of the way in which modern society says it's cool to be this or to be that. Don't ask for signs. So often we say, well, Lord, I'll believe if you do this for me. I'll believe, Lord, if you show me that. Lord, I'm in a sticky situation and I need to pass this exam. Lord, if you just get me through this difficulty, yes, I'll believe you. Don't for one moment think that that's going to succeed. The Lord requires us to believe him on the evidence that he's given us and on things that he's told us, and that is sufficient and that is enough. Don't. Don't provoke him. The people in the wilderness wanted a sign. They wanted something extra. They wanted something from God. They weren't content with what they had and what he had given. God has given the greatest sign possible. The greatest sign possible of his love and of his mercy and his commitment. He has sent his son to die on a cross. What else can we possibly ask that would display his mercy and his grace? But then you turn and you say, yes, but Lord, I want a vision. I want something that I can grab hold of. I want some impression. I want something pretty unique to come into my life. No. That's not the way God works, and that's not what God requires. Beware. The spiritual danger of hardening your heart, putting down markers and setting down requirements. There is no surer stance. There is no more substantial foundation on which we can stand when we're in a spiritual battle and in the heat of that conflict. There is nothing more robust than simply to hold on to the promise that God has made and given, and to which we tie our character and our outcome. God has given a promise. As I said, the very beginning, it does what it says on the tin. That's what God has said as well. He says what he does what he says in his promises. We must trust in him. We must rely upon him. There is no better, there is no perfect way set before any one of us and simply to trust our souls to the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. A spiritual danger we've got to be avoiding. The question comes back then. Are we listening? What are we doing with what we've got? Remember the great feast. And the way in which the gospel went out and they came back with so many different excuses. Please have me excused because I got married, because I bought cattle, because I'm this, that, and the other. And the Lord says, everyone who's been invited will not get in. Those who have heard the message and have not responded to it but abused it, they will not get in. The spiritual danger set before every one of us. We need, therefore, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. Here tonight, I'm only with you for a few days. But in coming, there were things that I had to do before I came, even before I said yes. I had to make sure that I was coming for the right reason. I had to make sure I was coming for the right purpose. And having answered that question, I then sat down and I made out what I thought were to be the things that I wanted to preach on underneath God's guidance. I've had to change twice the things that I said I was going to preach on. And one of the things I've had to change was tonight's message. And that simply brought home to me the uniqueness of the privilege and the responsibility which all have here tonight. The way in which we go our separate ways. Will I ever see you again? Will you ever see me? Will you ever hear me again? I know not the answer to these questions. But all we can do is focus on the moment that we are now together. Today, don't let things slip. Don't let them go. Today, if you hear not the minister from Fort William speaking to you, not that you hear any man speaking to you. Today, if you hear God speaking to you, to your soul through these words, don't let it slip by you. I want to close by one simple passage. Going to one simple passage. In First John chapter 2, and at verse 28, we read these words. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may with confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We may appear before him with confidence. That word confidence is a fascinating word. It's a word that's used in the Acts of the boldness of God's people. And what it means is we come and we're not tongue-tied. We can all think of a situation when you're in the presence of some great pop star, or when you're a great follower, or some great icon, or somebody that you followed and you want, and you're literally just can't say a word. That's what we do not have if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. When an assessment is made of your life, what argument will you have? What will you say? That's what is spoken of here, the boldness, the confidence. One argument and one argument only from the words of the hymn writer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus gathered his disciples together and he asked them the question, what is it that's been said about me in the community? What's the grassroots? What do other people say about me? And they came back and they say, well, it's something about Elias and something about this one and that one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And then he turned and he put them on the spot and he says, yes, but what do you say? And the Lord is putting us on the spot here tonight. He has spoken. What do you say about what you've heard? Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we have indeed handled things of great significance and importance for our souls. Here this night, we have been in thy presence, and thou hast spoken to us. And we ask, Lord, that we might hold on to what we've heard from thyself. Underneath the blessing of thy Spirit, Lord, may that truth lead us to thee, and may we find hope and peace and rest only in thyself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.